Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Host Gene and Tim, along with team members
Teresa, Linda, and Annie,
are master gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Greene counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature, or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
Hello and welcome to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. I'm Jean Thomas.
And I'm Teresa Golden.
Today we have as our guest the irrepressible, opinionated, and philanthropic Rosemary Armeo. Rosemary is a retired investigative reporter with awards from around the world. She's a professor of journalism at SUNY Albany and formerly at RPI. She's known for her time served on the public radio powerhouse WAMC, and is currently producing her own podcast called An Armeo on the Brink. But interesting as all that is, we're not talking about any of that.
Rosemary got our attention when she mentioned that Cornell Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program on a WAMC roundtable broadcast. Much to our delight, as they say, she signed up for and completed the intensive Master Gardener training. Who better to describe the rigors and rewards of becoming a Master Gardener?
Welcome, Rosemary. We've been looking forward to this conversation. Our team is composed of MGVs, as we call ourselves, but your fresh perspective is important. I've been a volunteer through two iterations over a couple of decades, Tim, Linda, and Teresa, 5 to 10 years, and Annie is in her first active year. We all hear from friends and acquaintances who want to join up, so let's start at the beginning. How did you become familiar with the program, and why did you decide to volunteer?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been always fun to meet other gardeners, and I love the Master Gardener program. Happy to be an ambassador for it. I heard about it from a friend, another journalist down in Florida, who retired. She had reached her, like, 30 years in newspapering and took up gardening super seriously. She had always been, as I have, always was kind of a tinkerer, but she took it up seriously and got into the program. So I always said the first thing I do when I retire is I'm going to sign up for Master Gardening. It was harder than I thought. The program in Albany County, where I'm from, is full. They don't even advertise, I think, when there are new classes opening because they have so many applicants. And I can see why. It's a great program.
So how big of a commitment did you have to make initially? I remember when I took the training, I think it was in 2015, we had about 13 weeks of specialized classes, and some of which were pretty challenging. And then we had to take a final exam that terrified everybody.
Yeah, I was expecting that, you know, because I went online to check it all out before I signed up myself. And it actually turned out to be less rigorous. That is not to say bad. But I came, my class was 2021. It was they had canceled classes during the height of COVID, and they finally came back. But it was still dangerous enough, a virus, that we did most of the training online. So you still had to dedicate one day a week for like 3 months that we did a series of lessons and amazing amount of reading, much of which, like my students tell me, goes in one ear and out the other. You don't really learn it anything, I think, until you're doing it, and then you go back and look up stuff. So the training was rigorous, but disappointing, because I kept saying every lesson ended with, well, if we were all together, we would be showing you, or we would add, and we missed out on all that. Albany County has gone back now, and this year, and when there is a new class, they've invited us from the COVID class, as we call ourselves, to go back and sit in the back of the room and re-listen to people and kind of mold together with other people taking the course. We missed a whole lot of that, unfortunately. They also moved from a final exam, which I made flashcards. I knew these answers. I was ready for a test. They moved to a project thing, which is you pick a topic and you do research, and then we presented it to the class again. It was a Zoom presentation because we couldn't meet in person. And I mean, I do that like every day in journalism. So it didn't seem, it was easy and I passed. I'm happy for that because I want to stay in the program, but it was not the challenge that you had in a final exam. You can find them online, you know. You can go like the Idaho Master Gardeners test. And they're pretty fun.
Okay, you trained in Albany County and Voorheesville, Center.
Is, oh, wow. It's awesome.
Gorgeous. The Master Gardeners in New York State have been doing is merging counties. So your training was with Albany Rensselaer in Schenectady?
That's right. That's okay. Right. So, and they each have their separate programs, but yep. For training and for some other things, too, we yeah. work together. And I thought that was a huge advantage yeah. for us. The Voorheesville facility is amazing. There's a series of gardens all around the grounds. Each one has a specialty. One is vegetables. One is shade. One is cottage garden. One is a children's garden. It's amazing. And the trees on the ground are a laboratory. When they teach pruning, when they teach tree health, you go outside and walk from tree to tree and look at things were done wrong. Even on the campus of CCE, it was done incorrectly, and they show you what happens to a tree when it's pruned incorrectly or planted incorrectly. So that's an amazing thing. But the Schenectady chapter, it's right next to the Schenectady Rose Garden, which is amazing.
That's famous.
And yeah, they're not really affiliated with it, but they're right there. And so there's a lot of, overlap. They also have an amazing vegetable program. And I don't really like kale. I know that's anathema, but I don't like kale. But it's an amazing plant. It's beautiful, worth growing. And they have like this whole row of it, this whole field of it. It was so great. So that's great. And then in Rensselaer County, one of the people there is like the guru of grass. He knows everything about planting a lawn, about what the diseases are, about fertilizing.
Right?
Dave, yes. You see, he's famous.
He is.
He's famous in New York. And a lot of people, I mean, I'm digging up all my lawn. I would like to get rid of all of it if I can. But a lot of the questions that come into Master Gardeners have to do with, I have this brown spot on my lawn, and he knows what it is, He knows what color, what shade of brown, and then he'll tell you what the bug is or the disease and fix it. It's amazing.
That was one of the nice things. When my first couple of years as a Master Gardener, I helped him man the hotline. And you learn so much by doing the research to answer other people's questions.
I have to say, we're required to do 60 hours of volunteer work in a season. It's not a full year. And 18 of those have to be on the hotline, which at first, when I go, this is really dumb. Why doesn't anybody just go online? Just use Google it. But the truth is, they really like to talk. There's the whole thing about gardening. It's so social. And people like to talk and tell you what their problems are and what their successes are. And they do pose questions that you can't instantly just Google an answer to. And they'll send in like, here's a leaf from a plant, and here's a little seed pod we found with it. What tree is this from? There were three of us who spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out what it was. It was not a tree that should have been growing where it was, is the answer. But I love it. Yeah, I think that's the best part of the education is the question. And then there are the other ones like, I have garter snakes in my garage. What do I do with that?
And close the garage and go home.
My answer was move.
Well, in addition to manning the hotline, though, then you also have other hours to do. Can you pick your project, or are there specific things you have to do?
We're encouraged to pick projects and to experiment. In fact, Albany County does, it's like a job fair in the spring, and the members who are working on each project present findings. They do little presentations. They have a table, they put gum and candy out to try to attract you. And they recruit volunteers. It's a great idea. So I began in composting. My son is a great gardener too, not a master gardener, but he got me into composting. So I joined that group, and I still do work with them frequently, but they also encouraged me to go work in the floral demonstration garden, because I want to learn about annuals. I know nothing about annuals. I plant perennials, so I don't have to maintain them. And then there are projects in the community. I like to do those. I signed up working with children. They have children's summer camp and vacation from school camp, where they learn gardening things. And I thought I would love that. I like kids. I've been in education all my life. I hated it. It was hard to engage them. So, okay, I did it, and I'm not going to do it again. I know to go to the next one. So, yeah, we're encouraged to try a lot of things and then pick the thing you want to specialize on.
Well, they say half of an education is finding out what you don't want.
Yeah, it's true.
So now on our team, we've got people who took advantage of the advanced training from different things at Cornell. There's a couple of master forest owners, a master beekeeper, and a master naturalist. We've got other fellow volunteers and staff members who include a master food preserver and a master composter. You might want to look into that.
I have to be honest, I only heard about that very recently, like just before we began talking, and I looked at it, and I'm so far away from that. I mean, to be a really great gardener, you have to know several things that I know nothing about. One is pruning. I have conquered grapes. I know I have to cut back those vines. I'm afraid I'm going to kill it. So, I need a tutor to come to my house in the springtime. And the other one is winter sowing and growing from seeds, which I've done very limited amount. I'm one of those lazy people who goes out to their nurseries and buys little seedlings. And this year, I was disgusted with the eggplant and the cabbage I got. It wasn't at all what I wanted because I'm not growing my own. So I need to master those skills, and then I'm going to look into some of that other stuff. The master composting thing sounds really interesting.
Seed starting is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm going to my first, we're having a class on that next week, so. Cutting up milk jugs, you know, filling them with soil and putting seeds in. So.
And sticking them outside and ignoring them for the whole winter. That's my favorite part.
I am capable of that, yes.
That's my skill.
So let's hear about your impression of the whole training process. How wide-ranging was the training, and what did you think of the depth of it?
Okay, again, I have to add the caveat that we were the COVID class. And I'm only beginning to see what I miss now this year when there is an in-person class.
We were just talking about
yeah.
that. The community is, I would say, at least 50% of the value.
It is because you meet colleagues who are like struggling with you or who are much better than you and they can help you. And we didn't have any of that camaraderie. And because everything was on Zoom, people are limited in the questions. Every program, I know as a teacher that whenever I move a syllabus from in-person to online, I cut one-third of the content because you can't fit it in otherwise. So I know that that was in my program, and I don't blame, please, please, please. I love everybody in the Albany Master Gardeners. But this year with the new class, they've invited the COVID class to come back, sit in the back of the room, participate in all the programming.
That's great.
It is, yeah. And I've tried to take advantage of that as much as I could. And of course, as with any class, I feel like I'm talking to my college students, not to other gardeners with this. A class is only part of it. In a classroom, I cannot teach you everything. I cannot teach you everything about investigative reporting and, you know, a 13-week course. But I can lead you to the resources and readings and the other people to listen to and to read who can teach you that. So that's what I try to think of with gardening. So I'm on online. I try to dedicate 2 hours a week to just doing programming, you know, and you turned me on, Gene, to a couple more I didn't know about. And this podcast has become one, too, where you can learn about things that you had not studied before.
One of the things I like about being a master gardener is you learn so much from the other gardeners.
That's where it all is. Yeah. I mean, working in the gardens and with the composters there is where you learn of me. The group in Albany built a keyhole compost garden. Do you know what that is? It's like a round circle built out of blocks, but it's a little slice. If you think of a pie, it's like one slice is out and you can walk right in there. So it's great for older gardeners, for handicapped, and it's a composting thing. In the middle of it is a little cylinder of kitchen waste. And then it just spreads out over into the rest of this well. And the gardening is amazing. They built it themselves. I mean, these are a bunch of women. They didn't know anything about blocks. You should have seen us like struggling to lift them up. It was great. It was really great. And then there are women there. I mean, Judith Federley knows. She is awesome. Knows everything about plants, I think. And then they invite you to your home. Keith Lee is an amazing gardener, he and his partner. They basically have built a botanical garden in their backyard. And I spent like 2 hours walking around with him, showing me this and this and samples from all over. And that's how you learn. And the other thing is the sharing, too. You know, like someone will say, well, I've got a lot of viruses left over. I just separate them. Can anybody use them? It's like, yes, yes. I say yes to all of them because the first thing I learned as a master gardener was that everything I had planted in my backyard was not native and an invasive and it had to go. Right? Right? I was like, what is that doing?
Well, we can get philosophical about that. Because that's a lot of the issues that come up with being a master gardener. You're going to find fanatics about everything.
Yeah.
Just like politics.
I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I love native plants. I've grown a whole bunch of them because I've learned about them. Like Joe Pieweed, I never even heard of that. It's awesome. It's a beautiful plant. And there's a bunch of other ones. But when you learn about them, you introduce them. I didn't really rip out everything else. But I did, like, for some plants, I cut off the seed pods and incinerated them rather than let them just drop and take over a plot of the garden. Yeah, you learn a little bit about that.
And you're going to love annuals.
Yeah, well, I will. Yeah, them. You're going to love them.
The nice thing about any kind of training is, you know, once you know it, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
Which is great. But the other thing I always found about the program is that you learned where to find. You didn't necessarily need to know the answer, but you learned where to find the answer.
Right, right. Through other humans who are in the program and just have done it before, or have an idea of who else would know, or the nurseries around. We have great resources in the Hudson Valley. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
And some of the websites of some of the extensions are phenomenal.
And even seed catalogs. They're like little books. So
they are. They've got a couple shows about seed catalogs.
Yes.
You're going to love them.
I'm going to listen to all of them. I have read Margaret Roach from the New York Times writes about them too. She's a seed catalog fanatic.
Well, one of the other resources that you don't realize until you're a master gardener is all the staff.
Oh, yeah.
Cornell, all the way to the top, are willing to say, okay, I'll take 5 minutes to help you with whatever it is.
Yeah.
In fact, we went on a road trip and went and interviewed, what, 9 professors? We went to Cornell.
Oh, wow.
With our gear.
That's great.
And in fact, we had a gap in our schedule because somebody had to cancel, and one of the professors ratted another one out. So we went and kidnapped him from his office and interviewed him. But they're all just wildly helpful.
Yeah.
And the feeling of all of that sharing is phenomenal.
There definitely is a fanaticism, you know, that you can talk to another plant person who knows your excitement, you know, when a bud opens, like, oh my God, did you see what that looks like?
Yeah.
Look at that color. And yeah, you have to be one of them to share that.
Yeah, you get to be in a clan.
That's a cult.
No, it's a clan. All right, now, you were warned about this question, Colin, so I'm hoping you had time to think about it. But whenever I start something new, I do a whole, the interview we did previous to you, I went, I didn't know that worked that way. What kind of I didn't know moments did you have about the training when you got into the program?
Okay, I didn't have to think about this. I knew the answer to this one right away because it was shocking me. I thought, okay, when you're a master gardener, you're a master. You know all the answers. You know exactly what to put, where, what fertilizer, how much water to add. You would know that, right? No, you're all murderers. You're just like, oh, that didn't work. Rip it out, put in another one.
Yes.
And I can't tell you the number of master gardeners who said, oh, yeah, I kill as many plants as I grow.
Yeah.
And it's just it's great. It's a willingness to experiment and not, because if you take things too seriously, you don't do anything. And they definitely don't have that. But, I mean, they're just little killers. You're ripping up the garden at the end of the fall. It's like, oh, that would grow back. Nah, rip it out. We're going to put something else in there. It's expendable.
It's freedom.
Compost it.
Yeah, we can always use anything anywhere else.
Exactly.
I love this. So now that you're officially a master gardener, what's your favorite part of the program?
Oh, I have a lot of them. I love putting in the plants and then coming back 2 months later and it's entirely different being. I love the sunflowers when you put them in and they're so tiny and then they're now bigger than I am and they have these amazing pods. A sunflower pod it's a miracle. I like taking pictures of all of this and I love learning new things. I've become Mrs. Everin. She was the neighbor where I grew up in West Albany. And I was best friends with her daughter. And she amazed me because she knew the name of every flower. You could say, what's that? And she would know, oh, that's an aster. Oh, that's a rose. That's a, and all the anxiety. And now I'm not there yet. But I can sometimes really fool people. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I know that's a calendula. I've given up on learning the Latin name. Some of the master gardeners know the Latin as well as the common name.
Well, I can't do that. Because you can make up anything you want to in Latin. It works for me. I'll say that's a res gestae.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, wow, that's awesome.
So I'm going to try that.
Try that.
All right. See, I've learned something today.
Yeah. Well, it's time to finish our conversation, and we ask what we call the Tim question. Tim couldn't be here today, and I'm so sorry he missed you. Given your worldwide experience and you're stepping into the microcosm of master gardening, can you tell us what, I know this is going to be a tough question for you, what gives you hope in today's world?
Oh my gosh. This is the one I had to work on because, you know, I'm pretty famous on the roundtable. I've said it repeatedly. We're doomed.
We're doomed.
Things are just miserable. And I especially now, you know, since you posed the question to me, we have another war starting and it looks very, very grim. So my first response was the usual, my granddaughter, and I wish I had more grandchildren. They're great. They give you hope for the future. There's beauty in a lot of things. I love art as well as gardening. I love traveling where you see beautiful new people and things. But I really don't think that's hope. I think those are distractions from how bad it really is. And the real hope comes from knowing that even if it's hopeless, if it seems incredibly hopeless, it's worth fighting for. And that's the way I feel now. In the 14th century, that was worse times than now. The plague, they didn't know what virus was, much less, or bugs were, much less what was causing this. It was killing off, you know, most of the populations in some places. And there was war and starvation, and it looked like the human race might not even survive. And it did. So that's at least as bad as, you know, the planet's burning. So there's something to fight for. That gives me hope. I don't know if we'll win. I can't say that because I still do have this sinking feeling that we're doomed, but I do have some hope that I and others are willing to keep fighting for something different, for an outcome that's happy.
They say to be a gardener is to be an optimist. So hopefully that will continue to allow you to have
hope. I'm planting oak trees all over my backyard.
Attic.
Yeah, oak trees. They take forever to grow, but, you know, they last forever and they help the environment. And there you go.
We'll take that from Rosemary the Doomsayer.
So, Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an incredible pleasure.
Oh, me too. Anytime. This was great.
Good. You'll be back then.
I hope so.
Okay. Thank you.
That concludes another episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We would like to thank Sandra Powers and Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties for production support. And a special thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. You can find links to any of the topics mentioned in this episode at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org. Comments and suggestions for future topics may be directed to us at columbiagreenmgb@cornell.edu or on the CCE Master Gardener Volunteers of Columbia and Greene Counties Facebook page. For more information about Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, visit our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org or visit us in Hudson or in Acre. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal programming and employment opportunities.